Okay. Well, we're in July. How about that new month, new theme, spiritual freedom?
Yes.
Yeah. And here we are on this beautiful Independence Day weekend, or as we call it now, the original Brexit. The Great Brexit of 1776. So today's talk is, right? Set yourself free. It's about set yourself free. And so we're talking about that quality of God known as freedom. It is a quality of God. That means it's a quality of us. It means we came into the world with it, when we came into form. We can't go anywhere and get freedom. We can't have freedom bestowed upon us from the outside. It is a spiritual truth of us, just like joy and love and peace and power and harmony and unity, just like all of the other qualities. Freedom is a quality that is within us to express. We can understand and we can embody the truth of it and we can align with it. That's what we do with these qualities. We align with them. We believe them. We embody them. We demonstrate them. Now, Ernest Holmes said this, in a spiritual declaration of independence, he gave this talk on a Sunday morning, July 5th, 1936. I love this stuff. Anyway, he said, the universe is so kind, it has delivered itself in fullness and completeness to our acceptance. But the universe always screens itself, as Emerson said, from the profane. And so we can never draw forth from it the love we would enjoy while we hate. The spiritual democracy of the soul cannot not only not have tyranny, it cannot have despotism, it cannot survive in hate. Hate destroys until love heals. I love that. I just love that saying. Hate destroys itself until love heals. We may gather our hates into ourselves and they poison us physically. They destroy us mentally. But even they cannot finally destroy us spiritually. For love is greater than hate. And finally, love is triumphant. And in all misunderstandings and misconceptions of hate are consumed in this divine passion, in this universal flame which will recognize no opposite. All falsehood can do is prove itself to be a lie, unreal. We cannot have spiritual freedom until we know this. That's powerful, powerful stuff. The place where there is no opposite, and I've been talking about that for the last several weeks, right? The qualities of God have no opposites. They exist on a continuum, and the least amount of love we can demonstrate, we call it hate. But it's a continuum, and it's up to us to demonstrate more and more and more and prove the principle. Ernest Holmes is telling us we cannot do both. We can't love and hate at the same time. We cannot know prosperity while denying it to others. We cannot, you know, be in peace and in chaos simultaneously. It's impossible. And we know that from the Bible, right? The house divided on itself can't stand. Cannot stand. And Ernest Holmes also said something like, we cannot pray 5 minutes in the morning. You know, we do our morning prayer, our morning affirmations. We can't pray for 5 minutes in the morning, say on abundance or something like that, and go around the whole rest of the day speaking words in opposition to that and expect any good to come from our prayer. We cannot be in divided like that. We are at choice. We are at choice. We have free will. We must recognize the law of cause and effect does not discern between those thoughts we think. It only goes to work on the predominant thought, and it outpictures that. It's simple, it's perfect, it's impersonal, and it is infallible. Whatever that predominant energy you are resonating in, that is what you'll see reflected back at you all over, from all over. Ernest Holmes said this in the 1926 edition of the Science of Mind textbook. He said, we are bound, tied, hand and foot by our freedom. Our free will binds us, and as free will creates the conditions which externally limit us, so it can uncreate or dissolve them. This is so important. We have free will. How much of it are we demonstrating? We're not punished by anything outside of ourselves, but our own limiting thoughts, our own false beliefs. And it's not until we come to terms with that, until we stand steadfast in the truth, can we see conditions of change. So, how are we keeping ourselves imprisoned? We keep ourselves imprisoned by taking falsehoods for truth. It's really it. We argue for our limitations, like Richard Bach said, right, in the book Illusions. We argue for our limitations, and so they are there. You know, they are ours. We get them delivered to us by the universe. We keep saying, I can't, I won't, I shouldn't, I'm not enough, fill in the blank, whatever. And all the universe says is yes. So it is. So it is. We sabotage ourselves. Now, if you're Facebook friends with Vision, you would have seen a post this weekend, and I loved it. It said the three ways we sabotage ourselves is blame everything on others, complain about everything, and never express gratitude. That's basically it. When we complain, you know, when we blame everything on others, we're the victims of our own lives. And that's the way we're writing the story. So we have no power. When we blame everything on others, that means we have no power of our own. And it's the external forces that are at work in our lives. We complain about everything. That means we're stuck in the conditions. Because it's the conditions or the things we complain about. We don't complain about the truth of us. We don't complain about our power or our love or our joy. We always complain about the condition. And the condition is another falsehood. It's a temporary thing. It's a thing of the physical world. It comes and goes like that. And never express gratitude. Well, you know, we have a tendency to do that. And those are the ways we keep ourselves imprisoned. We are these remarkable things, you know. We claim, we come here on Sundays, I know, and during the week, I know you do, I know you pray, I know you meditate, and we claim we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, right? How many times have you said that? I am a spiritual being and I'm having a human experience. But then we go around the whole day complaining about the human experience and not acknowledging the physical, the spiritual being that we are, right? We get all caught up in the condition. Now, here's the spiritual truth of us. We are nothing but energy. It's all we are. There's nothing but energy. Everybody can agree on that, right? If you ever took high school chemistry or physics, all there is energy. You know, everybody can believe that. We believe it. Physicists believe it. Atheists believe it. Catholics, everybody, right? It's already been proven. There is nothing but energy. And all the energy that ever was or ever will be already exists right here and right now. That's us. And that's everything in the manifest universe. And it's in the spaces between everything in the manifest universe. There is only energy. Well, I believe that energy to be spirit. That's our philosophy. That is our cosmology. Everything that we see, everything that we feel or taste or touch, it's energy in one form or another. And the air between us, the spaces, it's just energy in form or out of form. That is the truth of us. And this energy is the one. It is the one. We're all it. It is the unifying force behind all of life. It breathes our breath. It beats our heart. It digests our food. It maintains homeostasis. It is the one thing that creates and maintains everything. Well, I believe that energy is spirit, and I believe that energy that flows through my body, that energy which is with, there is nothing else but it, I believe that that energy can dissolve away anything unlike wholeness and perfection. Thank you. That energy that has created the entire universe, set the planets in their orbits, is burning the suns, is creating galaxies while we're sitting here, that energy is the only truth about us. It is the only truth about us. That energy is flowing through our bodies right now, and if you don't think that that energy can do remarkable and amazing miracles, then you're selling it short. It is the only truth of us, and it can flow through our bodies, and it can dissolve away anything unlike itself. Whole, perfect, and complete. But here's the thing. What do we think about? Well, we don't usually think about our bodies. Do we think about our physical health at all? When do we think about our physical health at all? You know, some of us express gratitude for our bodies on a regular basis, right? You're laying in bed, you wake up in the morning, you start with your toes, and you just go work all the way up your bodies. But honestly, I think most of us don't. And when we come to set some attention on our bodies, it's because something went wrong. I mean, really, honestly, isn't that when we express gratitude or we express our positive affirmations? It's not until we get sick that we start affirming our health. It's not until something goes wrong do we start turning attention to it, right? How many times do you wake up in the morning and just you're grateful for your intestines? You know, it's like, okay? I mean, it's like it doesn't usually happen until something goes like terribly wrong. Then all of a sudden you're affirming health for your intestines. But where's the gratitude for them working right, working correctly, you know? And it goes with all parts of your body. We have free will. We can dwell in the freedom. We can dwell in the joy. We can dwell in the health that we have. We don't have to just ignore our bodies until something goes wrong with them. And then all of a sudden, we're doing all of our positive affirmations. Ah, where are we spending our mental energy? You know, we're at choice, and wherever we're spending our mental energy, that's what we're marinating in. That's what the universe is giving you back. That's really what it is. So spiritual freedom means your freedom to manifest. Your freedom to manifest your good or your not so good. So we keep ourselves imprisoned by blaming others for our conditions, complaining about other things, and never expressing gratitude. What do we need to turn it around? Well, if you were a Facebook friend of Visions, there was a follow-up post to that first one this weekend. And it also said, take responsibility for the things you want to change. Never talk about your problems and be immersed in the attitude of gratitude. Real simple. Take responsibility for things you want to change, which does not mean taking the blame for where you are or how life got to be where it is or beating yourself up because it's something less than what you had imagined. That's just blaming yourself. That's that same old-time religion, you know, and that's just saying, well, now God did it to me instead of, you know, my boss or my parents. So I'm not talking about taking the blame. I'm talking about taking responsibility. Here I am. This is what's happening. What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? That's taking responsibility. Never talk about your problems. Never, ever talk about your problems. Why? Because it's the condition. It's the condition. It's not the truth. And the condition's going to change like that. It always does. It always does. And be immersed in the attitude of gratitude. Recognize when things are going right. Recognize when things are going right. Appreciate when things are going right. You know, sometimes I catch myself, oh, what else can go right? You know, just turn it around. You know, we have faith in spirit. We have faith in spirit. We have faith in our place in this cosmology. We know, no, more than no. We embody truth. We embody it. We know our word heals. Ernest Holmes said it. Our word heals. So we express freedom through faith. And we do this by practicing the principles. Every Sunday, right, I'm up here and I say, this is a practical philosophy, right? This is a practical spirituality. We have to prove the principles work. So that means we have to actually try them. We have to do the stuff. We have to test this philosophy and prove to ourselves that it works. And Ernest Holmes, I love this. He was addressing the graduating class of practitioners one year, and he said, now that you've learned everything and you've taken all the, throw all the books out the window. You don't need them anymore. Throw the books out the window. Do the work. Do the work in the world. Try it. Test it. Prove to yourself it works. Because he said this in the textbook. He said, the person who can throw himself with a complete abandon into the limitless sea of receptivity, having cut loose from all apparent moorings, is the one who will always receive the greatest rewards. Oh, that means dive in. Dive into this philosophy. Don't leave anything out. Don't hold anything back. Dive in and do it. We can no longer be lukewarm about this stuff. When we speak affirmations of truth in the morning and then we go around complaining about how poor or how broke or how lonely we are, we're going to get half-assed results. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to speak our word with power and conviction and let it go forth. We speak our word with power and conviction and then we let it go forth. The rest is up to spirit. Rest is up to spirit. And this is why when we teach the five-step prayer process, when we teach affirmative prayer, this is why we talk about the difference between outlining and choosing. Right? All you PRAC students, you know what I'm talking about, right? What's the difference? That's the biggest question when you're teaching the five-step prayer. Well, but I don't understand. But what are you talking about choosing and outlining, and how are they different? Ernest Holmes said, we know, and I know it confuses some people, but we do make this distinction, the difference between the condition and the quality. When we talk about choosing, we are referring to the experience we're going to have. I'm praying joy into my life. I'm praying love. I'm praying unity. I'm praying peace. That is the choice we're making. When we start getting into people, places, and things, oh, this is how it has to come to me. I need this job. I need that office. I need the window spot. I need whatever, whatever. Then we're into the condition. Then we're into the condition. That's outlining, and it's none of our business. That's the realm of spirit. That's the domain of spirit. Ernest Holmes said this, in faith means freedom. He said, it will be well to consider the difference between outlining and choosing. As an individual, you have the right to choose. Being an individual, you cannot escape the necessity of choice. You do the choosing, the law of good does the outlining. See how that works? This is the distinction between choice and outline. He goes on to say this, if you choose to plant a tomato seed, you will have chosen a tomato plant, but you do not get to outline how many leaves it will grow on it, how many stalks will be on that plant, how much fruit it will bear, because that belongs to God's law of cause and effect. So does that make sense? Difference between choosing and outlining? One is the condition, one is the quality. We have to stand in the truth of the qualities. When we pray, we have to pray abundance, pray freedom, pray the demonstration of love in our lives. The outlining is up to spirit. How it comes into our life, how it shows up, could surprise us sometimes, because sometimes it's not what we look at it like, oh God, what was I thinking? That's also being a victim. But it can surprise us sometimes. Sometimes it's delivered and it's not quite what we thought. But we have to stay out of the conditions. It's the realm of spirit and it's not ours. This is freedom through faith. When we know we're praying, it's like, I know it's demonstrating. I know it. I know that when I speak my word, it goes forth. I know it's working. I don't know how it's going to work, but I know it's working. It always works. I know it's working. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I know it's working. It always works. So we build our faith until we no longer entertain doubt. Easy schmeasy. First time we moved here, right? We gave everybody directions on how to get here. And if you've never been here before, you were relying on the directions. You were relying on faith. You were relying on Siri. I don't know, something. But you were relying on faith to get you here to this building. That's faith. You relied on something you didn't know, you hadn't demonstrated, you didn't have expertise, but you're relying on something that faith would get you here. And it did. But after you got here, what is it? You don't need faith anymore. You've got wisdom. You know how to get here. You can get here as many times as you want. You don't have to hope you get here next time. You know? So that's what we do. We build faith until we no longer entertain doubt. You don't have to worry about whether it's here or not next time. It's here. You know the term fake it till you make it? Have you heard that? If you've been in our teaching or philosophy for a while, you will have heard that term, fake it till you make it. Well, that's part of building faith. Stay out of fear and doubt. Even if I'm not convinced of the truth, even if I haven't seen it demonstrated yet, I agree to stay out of the condition and keep surrendering to Spirit because Spirit will do its part. That's the kind of fake it till you make it. It's about not spending any energy, not one ounce of your precious energy in the problem. Stay out of the problem. guys. I'm sending all my love. I'm sending all my joy. I'm sending all of my unity. I'm sending all of my peace. I'm resonating in these qualities of God. I'm standing in the truth of who I am. I'm not going to spend any more of my precious time, my precious energy, my precious thoughts immersed in the problem. That's spiritual freedom. That's what we're talking about. We get to choose. We get to set ourselves free. We're free from the past, because it doesn't exist anymore. How many people are still carrying around a past something? Anybody have a bag of shit they're carrying over there? Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop now. Bag of stuff you're carrying over your shoulder, right? From the past. You know, it takes more energy to carry it around than to drop it. You know, did you ever hold like a 5-pound weight out beside you? See how long you can hold it, and you can hold it, and you can hold it. After a while, 5 pounds gets really, really heavy. After a while, you have to drop it. Drop it. Drop the past. This is what we set ourselves free from. The past, false beliefs, things that aren't working. How many of us keep doing things that aren't working? Hey, let's try it again. It might just work this time. You know, set yourself free from that. Set yourself free from thoughts we hold that are not true. And the only way we can do that is by saying, hey, this thought I'm thinking right now, is that mine? Is it true? Does it serve me, the me I am today? Or if it doesn't, get rid of it and get a new thought. That's why they call this new thought. Did you know that? See, isn't that clever? They call this new thought. We have a new thought, then it takes the place of the old thought and things change in our manifest life. We set ourselves free from those things. We set ourselves free from all of those things of the past. That is the change your thinking part of our tagline, right? We free ourselves from the past, false beliefs, things that aren't working, self-imposed limitations, thoughts based on things that are not yours. That's change your thinking. And then we set ourselves free by setting new intentions, taking baby steps in the directions of our goals, declaring our self-worth, and testing these principles, trying them and testing them. That is the change your life part. You've heard of that universal saying, right? In our faith tradition, change your thinking, change your life. That's what we're doing. Changing our thinking is the stuff we're freeing ourselves from. Changing our life is the things we set ourselves free by doing. So experiment with this stuff. Test it. Try it. If you've not been in a class, take a class and learn at a deeper level how to put these principles into motion. Set up your own experiment. Set up your own experiment. By sundown today, I'm going to see a Jersey cow. Something. I mean, I don't know. Pick something. You know, in the book Illusions, what was it, a blue feather? You remember reading the book Illusions, right? It was a blue feather. He's going to see a blue feather. And sure enough, one came floating into his experience. Try these principles. Set silly, goofy things up for yourselves. Try those challenges. Experiment with this stuff. Prove that it works. These are baby steps. They manifest something you have no resistance to. You see, that's the thing. That's when we start building our faith, we build on these small things we have no resistance to. I'm going to run into an old friend I haven't seen in 100 years, you know? And you do. You have no resistance to it. You're going to stand here and go, I'm going to manifest $1 million by sundown. Oh, really? Because you have a lot of heat around maybe that button, you know? Maybe there's financial stuff. Maybe there's a lot of resistance in that area. Start small. Start baby steps. Prove the principles. And as you prove and things manifest in your life begins to change little by little. This is how we free ourselves. Reverend Marcia Sutton and Lloyd Strom wrote the curriculum, The Principles of Financial Freedom. And it's a wonderful book. And they did a worksheet called Fear to Faith, the Fear to Faith worksheet. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's left-brained, right-brained, it's all over the map, it's wonderful. But it's at the bottom of it, they have a releasing prayer. And this is a wonderful, wonderful tool to be able to start this process of changing our lives little step by step. At the bottom of the page, there's a prayer called a releasing prayer. And it is all body movements that go into it and everything. And it says, I release my belief in, okay, on the left. I release my belief in, and what is that thing? It's the thing that you want to get rid of. It's the false belief. It's the limiting belief. It's the thought of fear, right? So you put on that line what that fear is, you know, and a lot of people, it's like, you know, okay, so like say we're going to do abundance. Abundance is a quality of God. So I'll release my fear in lack. Okay, does that make sense? This is where you put your false belief. I release my belief in lack. And then this is the tricky part, was the second line. With your right hand, you say, and I release my need to. I release my need to. And what that is the thing that you do when you start feeling this thing. Okay, it's a real tricky turnaround, but this is what we do. I release my belief in lack. I release my need to, whatever you do when you start feeling lack. Some people shop, you know, go figure, right? But I mean, some people, that's the automatic response. Or people hide, they go under, you know, they don't return phone calls and they don't, whatever that is, isolate. Whatever that thing is you do to try to drive away this fear, try to drive away feeling the fear, okay? And then the third line is, I am grateful that God is the, whatever that quality of God is. So in this case, it would be abundance, right? Abundance that I am. You bring it down to yourself because you already are those qualities there within you. And this is how we affirm truth. This is how we release the fear. We release the need to do those human things we do to try to cover up the fear. And we embrace the truth of God that we are. And we bring it down within us. And that is the quality of God. This is our word of truth. This is the word of truth. This is the truth of who we are. We declare our spiritual independence and it sets us free. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, this I, which appears sick, miserable, which appears to fluctuate with the vicissitude of change and chance, is stable, real, dynamic, divine, an individualization of a universal God, presence, spirit, power. This self in conscious unity with the divine, touching that which is true, no longer denying, no longer even affirming, but embodying, has within itself the totality. For one with God constitutes all power, all presence, all law, all cosmos itself. Let us then set up this democracy of spiritual independence in our lives until that which is bound is loosened. The light of heaven glancing through the windows shines on this imprisoned splendor and sets the captive free. Yeah. And that false belief, that is us. That is us. That imprisoned splendor, that is us. Time to set yourself free? Yes. Yes. Time to experience spiritual independence day? Yes. Absolutely. I know and affirm that for all of you. Thank you so much.